This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And imagine the moment, that moment that hits you in your gut or maybe in your mind when you know that this is no drill, that this is the real thing. And what you do right now is all that matters. Well, that moment came for tens of thousands of people in Oklahoma this week who made decisions, did what they could, and are now living with the consequences, the aftermath. This hour, we'll talk with a lot of people who have roles to play and are taking those roles, stepping up in the community of Oklahoma City. Residents, first responders, aid workers, politicians, teachers, everyone in the community has a role to play in the rebuilding efforts in Oklahoma City and the surrounding areas. 30 square miles will need to be rebuilt. An estimated 2,400 flattened homes will need to be replaced. We've got a couple of teachers with us now. Rochelle Taylor, welcome.
Hello.
So, Rochelle, think back to those early alarms, those meteorology reports. When did you know this was not a drill?
Yes, we were located in our annexes for our specials, and the principal came over the intercom and asked the students to come into the indoor classrooms. And we stayed there until about five more minutes, and then they set the normal tornado drills.
Rochelle,
and then we went to our locations.
Rochelle Taylor is a first grade teacher who lives in Moore, Oklahoma. Her own children were at a Moore school during the tornadoes. How did you feel about your own family being in harm's way? Your school is located somewhere outside of the most dangerous destruction zone.
Yes, I was nervous, but I knew that my children were safe with their teachers, and I had to play that role with my own students. So I just nurtured my own students like they were my own and trusting that their teachers would do the same thing. So I had great confidence in that.
What's that nurturing process like? Give us a sense of the words, the sorts of things that you say.
Just say everything's going to be okay. You just feel their just love on them, hug them, get them in order, and just let them know that this is kind of a game that we play and that we're always ready at all times and that we just constantly remain calm because the children feed off our energy. And so we just guide them to where they need to be.
Rochelle Taylor is a first grade teacher in Oklahoma City. Heather Meldrum is a fifth grade teacher at Stanley Hupfield Academy at Western Village in the Oklahoma City public school system. Heather, when did you know this was the real deal, that this was no drill?
Similar to what Rochelle was saying, but also, you know, here in Oklahoma, we have amazing meteorologists, and we were actually informed with our meteorologist a week ago that the conditions were going to be right on these days that this weather could possibly happen. And so we also have someone on site monitoring our weather. We have weather radios continually going to keep us informed of what's going on. So Monday when it happened, I actually started the day out with my students, kind of like a science lesson, letting them know that kind of what things were going to happen, what they were going to hear, what they were going to see. And one of the things we want to make sure is that our kids are educated, because I think a lot of times kids are fearful when they're not aware of what's going on. And so we knew it was the real deal. And we, you know, calmly walked through our procedures, which we routinely do throughout the year. So it wasn't a shock. It wasn't a surprise on how to do anything.
Heather Meldrum received the Oklahoma City District Teacher of the Year Award and is a fifth grade teacher in the public school system in Oklahoma City. Heather, how much does your heart go out to those teachers in Moore who lost students, who no matter what they did, despite their best efforts, the storm targeted the school directly and there was really nothing they could ultimately do?
That's probably one of the hardest things for a teacher, a parent, for anyone to have to sit and watch and know that a teacher did everything she could. You know, when we work with our students, we are very protective of them. And if anything or anyone we feel is going to harm them, we sort of get into this mama bear protective mode with them. And, you know, I'm sure you heard the stories of teachers laying on top of their children and doing everything they can. And when you put every effort forth to do something like that and you still, you know, are in the wake of tragedy like that, it's hard to accept. It's hard to watch. And it's hard to think that, you know, that could have been any one of us at any moment.
And Rochelle, you know the stories because your kids were much closer to the storm than you were. Tell me a little bit about the mama bear approach that you take.
With my students and also with my own children, it's just critical that they know that from day one we establish that when they're in our classrooms of how much we love them and we listen to them constantly. And so that it's a constant bridge between their parents and us, knowing that we want the best for them. And then we always practice our procedures and follow through with those constantly, so that, like what happened the other day, it is right at the forefront of our minds of what to do. There's no hesitation.
And take me into, because in some ways you are speaking for so many teachers in the community who are dealing with the aftermath and are dealing with the losses. What does a school do? What do teachers do? What does the community of educators do to put things back together again when a school has suffered a loss, whether it's been devastated or there have been actual fatalities? Rochelle?
We just convey that we are here for them, and we allow our counselors to be on site. And when the students need to talk about what's happening with their peers across of Oklahoma, that we have those in place to just nurture them, and just a lot of being there to listen to them, because it's very frightening for children. And about, because we always preach to them, school is a safe place. We're here for you, and we're here to provide for you. And so when they feel nervous about that, we constantly review the plan of what we need to do to provide opportunities for children to express their feelings of what they were feeling during that time.
Rochelle Taylor is a first grade teacher in the Oklahoma City community. Heather Meldrum, what questions do fifth graders ask at times like these?
I actually, the evening of the event, was getting text messages from some of my students concerned about the schools that they had seen. Some of them were questioning what they could do, if there was a way they could help. They just had a lot of questions about that. In 1999, when we had our tornado, these kids were not born yet. The kids that I have as fifth graders now, they weren't born, so they didn't experience it before, so this was a new thing for them. But the reality was they were wanting to reach out. They wanted to find a way to help the kids. They wanted to bring clothes. They wanted to bring books. They wanted to bring things that could help them. But the next Tuesday, yesterday, as the cold front had moved through and we were still experiencing rain and thunder, you saw the kids jump a little bit in the classroom when the thunder hit. And it was just, you know, another one of those reminding them, the cold front's moved through, you know, all we're going to experience is this, and it was okay. And just reminding them about the reality of the weather and the role that it can play in their lives and stuff. So giving them a role to play as far as I can give back, rather than taking in this devastation and thinking how terrible it is, finding a way for them to be aware of what they can do and how they can help.
Heather Meldrum, a fifth grade teacher in Oklahoma City. Rochelle Taylor, first grade teacher. Heather and Rochelle, thanks so much and good luck to you.
Thank you so very much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.